here today, 185. He is my everything, he is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything, now how about you? Some folks may ask me, some folks may say, who is this Jesus you talk about every day? He is my Savior, he set me free. Now this what I tell you, what he means to me. He is my everything, he is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave his life for me, made everything new. He is my everything, now how about you? And verse 2 gets into a real invitation. He'll be your everything, he'll be your all. He'll be your everything, both great and small. He gave his life for you, made everything new. He'll be your everything, as he is mine too. Is he your Savior this very day? Is he the person you talk about day by day? Yes, he will save you. He'll set you free. Obey his commandments. Sing along with me. He is my everything. He is our all. He is our everything, both great and small. He gave his life for us, made everything new. He is our everything, now how about you? It's a good song to remind us, and it's a good song to introduce the study today of this topic. And the topic is the idea of how do we go about the process of reviving our lives of service. At one time in our lives, perhaps it was the case that we were serving someone in a wonderful way, helpful way of life, but then there are those circumstances that came about that we now look up and say, we really haven't served like we should. How can we revive that service? Sometimes in a job that we went to, we were excited about the job that was there. We were excited about the time of it. We got up early, we went to the job, we stayed a little bit later. We really enjoyed the relationship that we had in that job. Then we found ourselves lingering alone without that real thrill. And so how can we revive that thrill in the work that we're doing? In the work of the Lord and salvation from sin, we remind ourselves of the night or the time in which we obey the gospel and how that we were made free from the past, free from all the things said and done in days gone by, and how wonderful it is to have that relationship with the Lord now that we did not have. But along the way, as we got into worship services and Bible classes and studies like that, we found ourselves waning away with that. And so we don't serve anymore like that. We're not excited about being at the table. We're not excited about the prayer times. Not excited about the sermon time. Not excited about the Lord's Supper time. We find ourselves just lingering away. How do we revive a service life for ourselves? We know we've had it one time. We know it was ours at one time. We know that it was a part of our daily thinking and our daily planning at one time. How is it that it's now not there, and how do we go about reviving it? Remember, please, that in the page of the Bible, we have answers to our questions, and we have questions in regard to spiritual walk of life, and this is a spiritual walk of life. And what do we find there in the Word of God about it? We find that God has attached himself to the thought and to the idea. As young people, Solomon in Ecclesiastes chapter 12, beginning verse 1, he says, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not and the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Notice he says that there's a possibility that we'll come to those years of time in life where we look back and it's not important to our ways of life. What then did he suggest them to do? Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. The Apostle Peter there, in regard to the matter of their remembrance in 1 Peter and in 2 Peter,
notes to them that he wants to bring up their minds, stir up their minds of remembrance as to the things that they came to be and came to understand. And stir them up in their minds so that they will enjoy the relationship they have in Christ Jesus. And notice that that stirring up is something that the word of the Lord was willing to do. As it was presented, that word of the Lord stirred up the mind, stirred up the thoughts, stirred up the heart. When that word of the Lord is talking about where we're going, a way of the day of judgment. Notice in Ecclesiastes, in reference to this matter in the other part of chapter 12, we will time find ourselves appearing before God. We'll find ourselves judged of the Lord, and that judgment of the Lord will be based upon His word and His teaching. As a result of that, do I want to be the person that that word of God says? That word of God says, go to invite. That word of God says, go to your knees in prayer. That word of God says, think about the relationship you have in worship. Notice that in John 4:23, he says God seeks true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. There is a zeal about this that God wants us to have, a spirit. There is also a truth by which we can find ourselves worshiping God. We find ourselves restoring that way of life that we once began by renewed zeal of the idea that God had a purpose involved in this. What did He want us to do? He wanted us to have the spirit by which we could recognize the forgiveness that He's given and the hope that He has restored in our hearts and lives. We noted this morning, and was read there in Romans chapter 4 in reference to Abraham, how that he was given a promise of God, of a son without his own involvement in it. No, his involvement in it would be not according to his own will, but according to God's will. And how he trusted the promise of God, and he did not involve himself in his own patting himself on the back and his own way. But he trusted God's blessing in his life. God had given him this son. And in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it is vividly told us that Abraham looked back at that scene of his offering Isaac and said to himself, God brought him to me as though from nothing. I did not deserve him. There was no way that I could credit myself with his coming our way. But he came as a son of promise. And I have the faith in the Lord that when this has happened, He can raise him from the dead to bring up what He's promised. He's promised me children like the sands of the sea. Of course, he was looking at this from a standpoint of his physical life and physical children and the nations of people that would be about. But more especially, God in heaven was looking at the spiritual way of life when he had by faith found himself entering into the righteousness of God, doing what was right. He was blessed of the Lord. And as a result of that, when Abraham was looking at life and looking at the future, he wanted to look at the things that were right and righteous in his conduct of life. When he found that to be righteous and righteous in conduct, he found himself looking toward the time of which the Lord himself would bless him fully and completely. And he did. And the idea that he tells us there is that he wants to be worshipers of God today. And we want to worship him in spirit and in truth because God is that spirit who seeks out true worshipers to worship him in spirit and in truth. We need to be committed to it. We need to be devoted to it. And enjoy that relationship with God as we worship the Lord. We find ourselves in worship in song. We find ourselves in worship in prayer. We find ourselves in reflection of the Lord's Supper. As we reflect upon the body of Christ and the blood of Christ and what that did for us, is there not a revival that comes within our spirit and our heart from time to time, and certainly more often when we think about it, more often every service that we find ourselves in the Lord's Supper? For it is a remembrance of His body and His blood and the full commitment that God's Son made toward us. And the idea of it should revive our spirit of thought that we need to tell others. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. He gave His life for me, made everything new. He is my everything. Let me tell Him about you. When we find ourselves in this hope, we find a way in which we talk about it with others. We invite others to come and to listen to the good message being done. We find ourselves revived in the hope that we can invite others to be a part of this. We find ourselves rejoicing in the future of the hope of the soul of those around about us, friends and loved ones dear, that we want also to have that joy. He is our everything. He is our all. When we find ourselves looking at this matter as He is my everything, and then we look in the mirror and we say, where is He in my life? Is He our everything? When I make my plans toward all the things of life, I think about my pocketbooks, I think about my trips, I think about my family, I think about my way. Is it really ours? When we go back to Psalms chapter 24, when we find there in the midst of that description, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. What can I really say is mine? Is it really my car? Is it really my household? Is it really my life? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The work that I do and the day of the way as I do, do I look at it as my own way and my own spirit? When we change to the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, we'll revive a spirit of worship, we'll revive a spirit of service, we'll revive a way of looking at life that we haven't looked at in a little while. It'll remind us of when we were baptized into Christ. It'll remind us of when we were part of those early worship services. It'll remind us of our hopes of the soul. It'll remind us of the Lord's Supper and the wonderful gift that Jesus gave for each one of us, and that He gave it completely and fully. He went into the tomb believing that His Heavenly Father would do what He had promised and call Him back as He had called Jonah back from the belly of the great fish. He believed the Father would call him back. Here He is in the tomb. He finds Himself in the heavenly realm. He went on to the ways of paradise. For He told that thief, you remember, today you shall be with me in paradise. He realized He had a spiritual part of His life. His physical body was placed in that tomb, but He, the fullness of God, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. He realized that there was something different and more about Him and everybody else. And thus when He came in Luke 19 at verse 10 to say, the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He gave a hope out to people who were lost, who were far away, who were not pardoned. He gave a hope to them. That would revive anyone's mind and anyone's spirit and anyone's thought. It would revive a prayer life. It would revive a worship life. It would revive everything of teaching others for the joy that we have in what He's offered for us. When we find ourselves doing these sort of things, we find a revival beginning. We find a reviving within, a hope that we have to tell others about the wonderful things of the future, to begin to invite others to events that take place, like a vacation Bible school, a good study that's underway, good efforts that are made to emphasize that. There'll be things on the walls here that will remind folks of a wonderful way of life to live. A hero for God. In the Bible, their heroes for God were not because of their own volition. Because, as we note with Abraham's life there in Hebrews 4, he became the father of nations because he obeyed the Lord. He did the righteousness of God. And the grace of God granted to him favor. So it is with you and me. He'll see that revived spirit and mind and revive us with a hope of the soul. Let me close this lesson today in this particular regard. How to revive the Word of God, the teaching of the Word of the Lord is there. But the ways in which we reflect upon things is there. When we find ourselves reflecting upon these things, we find a way in which we used to live. It's not a surprise to us. It's not an old hat thing to us. It was something of great joy and great hope that we had. And thus, as we got into that way of life, it became a way of life that we, far and wide, we never saw ourselves leaving that way of life. But if, in fact, we find ourselves leaving that way of life, and it's ho-hum to us today, it's really not there. It really isn't a service. I need to revive that service. I need to revive that way of life. The Apostle Paul knew that that was the circumstance of his own people among the Jews. And thus he speaks in regard to that matter. He says, "My heart's desire and prayer to the brethren at Rome, my heart's desire and prayer to God is for Israel, that they might be saved. For I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge." They were not doing it according to the way that God had taught them to do it. They were happy about their religious ways, their religious walk. They were happy because they had made it up. They had invented it. And they were practicing it. They were punishing the children that did not follow that way. And he says, "I bear them record. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. They being ignorant of God's righteousness and have gone about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves to the righteousness of God." What did they do? They made up their own right way of doing things. They didn't submit themselves to the right way that God's word had said. Therefore, they were not now in the righteousness of God. They hadn't revived it. My heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. That's what Paul entered that thought with. He wanted them to be helped. He wanted them to revive that life of service, of righteousness that was not their own, but the righteousness that God's word had told them to practice. That's the way of life. And it's a way of great hope. You know, when they have this idea in mind in front of us, it's a way that we want to often pray about and be a part of in the songs that we sing and in the reflection at the Lord's table about what really has been done for us. Aren't we ever more thankful that what He has done for us is offer us a home, a hope, a wonderful blessing in heaven itself? When Paul addressed the brethren at Corinth with the closing thought of this invitation, in 2 Corinthians 5 at verse 10 beginning, he says, "We will all appear before the judgment seat of Christ to receive the things done in the body according that we have done, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men." Being reminded of it and being persuaded of it are much the same. And that's the hope of the soul for reviving of our spirit life of service in God. He tells us there plainly, we face the judgment. Let's commit ourselves to that idea of being the faithful servants of God. For those of you who are listening by way of the internet system, it may be that you too find yourself in the situation of which we've described this morning in this lesson. And once upon a time of revived spirit and that way of life, you too will restore that way of life. How did the Lord tell us to come back to Him? But in Acts 8 at 22, Simon was told, "Repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God that the thought and intent of your heart may be forgiven you." Indeed, he wanted Peter to pray for him that none of these things that you said will happen to me come upon me. Indeed, Peter told him terrible things were going to happen, and he did not wish that to happen to him at all. Do you, any of you, wish to be rejected of God for failing to serve the righteousness of God in your life? Anyone here today, subject to Jesus' invitation, would you come as we stand and as we sing together?